To be with you. It's good to be together. Those of us who can be physically, it's great to be together. But again, I want to welcome all of you who are worshiping with us online via the live streaming. Thank you for being with us this morning. We are continuing in our study on spiritual warfare. Before we get into that, a couple of things I want to tell you about. Next Sunday, and even though it is Father's Day, that'll be a special day. But Brian is going to be showing this movie called Breakthrough, and that will be at 5 o'clock right here in the auditorium. So keep that in mind. And again, though we're doing the movies, we're not providing popcorn right now, but you're welcome to bring your own and enjoy that during the movie. So 5 o'clock next Sunday evening for the movie Breakthrough, okay? Now, just kind of an update on what we're doing in the time of the coronavirus and how all of that is working. Just to let everybody know that everybody is welcome to come back and attend worship services. Okay? It's open to everybody. There are a few things to keep in mind. I'll talk about those in a moment. Our Friday ladies class has begun. They're doing that 11 o'clock on Friday, so you're welcome to come to that, ladies, be a part of that. They are kind of spacing out some back there in the fellowship hall, so keep that in mind, keeping the social distancing all. We just mentioned about our third Sunday family movie. We're doing that now, so keep that in mind. I'd like for you to attend that and appreciate Brian starting that back up again. Our regular Bible classes, Wednesday night and Sunday morning, have resumed. So please keep that in mind, Wednesday at 7 o'clock and Sunday morning at 9:30 to attend the Bible classes, all right? So we've got that going on. We want to continue, as we've been saying all along through this, please continue the phone calls of encouragement, the notes, and all of those kinds of things. We want to encourage everyone to keep doing that, to keep in touch with one another. Okay, now, a couple of things to remember in terms of those who are coming physically to the worship service. Okay, first of all, those attending we're still asking you to wear a mask and keep the social distancing. All right, also, anyone that is at a high risk for the coronavirus, we're asking you to please consider the risk before you come back physically to be with us, all right? If you feel sick or have any of the symptoms, please stay home. Don't come out and don't go anywhere, okay, for that matter, all right? If you have been in contact with someone who has COVID-19, then we're asking you to stay away at least for 14 days. So that you don't risk bringing that into our fellowship together here. The individual communion packs, we're going to continue using those, and part of the idea of that is we're not going to be passing trays or anything else around to one another and so forth. So we're going to continue using those kind of things. Another thing I don't have up here, but just to let you know, is the elders, we talked the other day about this, that our schedule that we have, other than these things that I've mentioned are going on, we see that this is basically what we're going to be doing until August, okay? We'll readjust and reevaluate and kind of see where things are the beginning of August, but right now that's kind of how we're doing things. So keep that in mind. That's our plan to kind of combat this whole thing. Our contributions, as we've been saying all along, and again, just want to emphasize and say thank you to everyone as you've been contributing and giving, that our contributions have been doing very well, and we just certainly do appreciate that. It allows us to take care of the things that we need to take care of and taking care of members and so forth. So we thank you very much for that. Again, just a reminder, you can make a contribution for those who are not here with us physically. You can pay by PayPal at edgehillpaypal@gmail.com. Or you can just send a check by snail mail. Either one doesn't matter. We appreciate the contributions that are being made. Okay, we're talking about spiritual warfare. We're in lesson 8 of this series. We have one more lesson in this series we'll do next week. But today we're going to be talking about the sword of the Spirit, okay? So we, in this whole series, what we've been focusing on began with this particular concept that war is hell, and looking at the relationship between war and hell, okay? We've talked about over and over again the fact that there is a war. It is a spiritual war. And though it's not something you read about in the news, newspapers, or watch on the news, CNN isn't covering it. Nobody is, okay? There is a war that is actually going on. We can't see all of the participants in this war, all right? But they are there, and this war is fierce, and it is a war after each and every one of our souls. It's not just a world war, it's a universal war. It is involving every being that exists in the universe, okay? We're all in this war, we've been saying all along, but it is individually won or lost. We help each other, we fight with each other, we encourage each other, we teach one another, all of those things that we try to help one another, but nobody can win or lose this war for anybody else. It is an individual win or lose situation. Now, here's the thing. Winning or losing really truly is about heaven or hell. It is what determines our eternal destiny. And unfortunately, most people in the universe, okay, are going to lose, because most of them don't even realize that there is a war going on. Most are totally oblivious to the fact that there is spiritual warfare going on around them and that they're involved in it. Part of our job and our responsibility is to help people to know about the war and to help them to be victorious in this war, okay? That's what saving souls is really all about. Our study on spiritual warfare, where we have been, we started out just basically trying to make sure we understand the nature of spiritual warfare. It's not a conventional war. It's not something you fight with guns and bullets and tanks and bombs and IEDs and all of those kind of things. It is spiritual in nature. Okay? We talked also about identifying the enemy, knowing who the real enemy is. Paul made it clear early on that our fight is not against flesh and blood. So the enemy is not people, okay? The enemy is spiritual in nature. We talked then, and where we've been in the last part of this study has been talking about being ready for battle. That is looking at each piece of armor that Paul talks about, God has provided for us, and how we can use that piece of armor to help us to be victorious in this battle. And so today, we're talking about the sword of the Spirit. We begin by talking about this concept. Practice makes perfect, right? And that is true when it comes to being able to use effectively a sword, okay? A sword is a very formidable weapon, all right? And there are a lot of different varieties of swords that have been developed throughout history. The Romans had a couple of different swords that they their soldiers typically carried. One was basically referred to as a short sword, okay? And that was for close combat and so forth, and kind of a jabbing and this kind of a thing. And then the soldiers also carried a long sword, all right? And that was for getting in there and just doing some heavy fighting, all right? This particular picture is one of a Viking, what was referred to as a Viking long sword, okay? And this particular one is from the Middle Ages, what the knights would carry and so forth, basically another long sword. And who has not ever heard of a samurai sword, okay? So there's a lot of different kinds of swords. But they were very, very formidable weapons, especially when folks were in battle in those times. I was watching a program just the other day. They were talking about the use of swords and so forth, and they had this basically a side of beef hanging, you know, from a tree, and the guy took one of these swords and just one swipe and cut it just about in half. So we're talking about a weapon that is extremely formidable. in battle. But like any other thing that we do, it takes practice to master the use of a sword. Okay? A lot of practice. One cannot just simply pick up a sword and expect to know how to use it. I remember my son Kyle, when he was young, he kind of had this idea that you know, he could pick up anything and he was supposed to be able to be perfect with it the first time. He wanted to be able to throw a baseball and do it perfectly. He wanted to be able to catch it. And he'd get frustrated because he couldn't really catch it right away. Hitting the ball the same way. And I had to over and over again tell him, it takes practice. You got to be patient. But you have to practice. And the more you practice, help me finish this, the better you get. You say, well, that is true of the sword of the Spirit. Okay? It takes practice. Practice makes perfect. All right? Now, understand, typically when we read that phrase, practice makes perfect, usually what we mean is that it makes no mistakes. The more I practice, the less mistakes I will make. But I want to suggest to you, and of course, in biblical terms, the word perfect doesn't mean without mistakes. What it means is complete. Okay? So the more we practice with the sword of the Spirit, the more complete we become. All right? Everybody with me? So therefore, the sword of the Spirit, as Paul identifies, being the Word of God, we need to practice with God's Word. Or just this kind of an idea, Bible drills and studying and researching and learning God's Word. That's what the practice is really all about. We were talking, for instance, in our Bible class this morning, the idea that some people say, well, I don't really feel comfortable in teaching because I don't know the Bible well enough. Well, then you need to practice it, okay? You need to learn, you need to study, you need to work with it. And the more you do that, the more complete you will become as a child of God in knowing His Word. So it's all about the practice. Practice, practice, practice. Use the Word. It doesn't do you a whole lot of good to have a Bible if all it does is sit on the shelf or on a coffee table. Okay? You've got to take it in. And by the way, it doesn't really do a whole lot of good to just simply read it. And that's why you hear me over and over again emphasize the idea of studying God's Word. Learn it. Okay? So it's practice, practice, practice to make us perfect or complete with God's Word. Paul wrote to Timothy, in this part he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So basically, we need to do our best, okay, so that we can correctly handle the sword of the Spirit. All right? Do your best. Practice. Practice, practice, practice. All right? Let's talk about that word, that sword of the Spirit. Why is it so significant? Why is it so important for us in spiritual warfare? Because it is the truth, okay? That's why it's such a powerful weapon for us, because it is the truth, all right? Jesus identified himself, he identified God's word as truth. Sanctify them by the truth, Jesus prayed. In John 17, your word is truth. We are set apart or sanctified by God's word, His truth. But the only way that can take place is for us to learn God's word, to study, to learn it, to know it. We've got to know the truth. Okay? Otherwise, we're just part of the world. We're set apart or sanctified by God's word, His truth in our lives. And the last part of this is, I want to focus on the statement, it is written. Okay? Why is the sword of the Spirit so vitally important in terms of this whole spiritual warfare and a piece of armor or a weapon that God has provided to us? All right? We find that out by going to Matthew chapter 4. Where Jesus, before he began his ministry, the Bible says was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now here's the interesting thing about those temptations, okay? This was the ultimate spiritual warfare, okay? I mean, spiritual warfare doesn't get any heavier than Jesus and Satan going at it. All right? This is it right here. But yet that's what they did when Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days. At the end of that time, the devil came to tempt him. Notice what happened. There were three temptations that Satan threw at Jesus. Now, here's an important thing you have to understand. You know, we talk about Jesus being God and being man and so forth, and the whole question and issue is, could Jesus have sinned? Okay, just think about that a moment. Most people answer that question that I've encountered and asked that question will say, no, he was God, he couldn't sin. But I would suggest to you that he was not only was he God, he was man. And if he could not sin, he would not have been able to be tempted. There is no temptation for someone who can't do something. Okay? If you cannot possibly do something, there's no temptation there. And so the fact that Jesus was tempted tells us very clearly that he could have chosen to sin. Three temptations. All right? The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. In other words, feed yourself. You know, hey, you're the Son of God. Go ahead and make some bread out of these stones. You don't have to be hungry. Go ahead and take care of your physical need. Verses 5 and 6, the devil took him to a holy city, to the holy city rather, and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, and there's that question again, if you really are, okay, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Go ahead, Jesus, just throw yourself out there. And then the third one. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Three temptations. Three very real and very powerful temptations that Jesus faced. Again, I want to remind you, it is not sufficient to say, oh, well, it really wasn't a big deal for Jesus because he was God. No, wrong answer. These were real, they were powerful, they were strong temptations that Jesus fought right here. Three temptations and three responses. All three responses using Scripture. Okay? Again, go back through these and look at what he says. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written. Jesus answered him when they're there at the temple. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then finally, Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." It is written. Jesus used the sword of the Spirit to help him to fight against Satan and to be victorious against Satan in that spiritual warfare. In the battles that he had with him at that time, Jesus went back to the Scripture. He used God's Word, the sword that was given to him. Same sword, by the way, that is given to you and I, God's Word. Now, if Jesus thought that it was so vitally important in the midst of heated battle with Satan to use God's Word, the sword of the Spirit, then why should you and I not use the same thing? You see? I mean, after all, he's given it to us for that purpose. Jesus relied on it. And you and I should too. Okay? James tells us to submit to God and resist the devil. And what will he do? He will flee from you. Resist him. How do we do that? With the sword of the Spirit. Okay? By reminding Satan of who you are. And as someone once suggested too, also remind him of what his future is. Okay? Remind him of what his future is. And you can do that by using the Word. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what Jesus did. He resisted the devil. And he did it by using the Scripture, by using God's Word. You and I have that very same word that we can do the same thing as we resist Satan so that he will flee from us. Now, keep in mind, okay, the text there says that the devil left him for a season. Okay? So, in other words, that was not the only time that Jesus ever faced temptation. Okay? Wasn't the only time. Of course, we see through the life of Jesus that he was victorious. He accomplished what he came to do. He died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day so that you and I would have forgiveness of our sins through his blood. Right? You will battle with Satan, and you won't just do it one time in your life. You will do it over and over and over again. And you need to learn to rely on God's Word to resist Satan, but know and understand that he will come back and try again. And that's why it's so important for you to practice with his Word. The more you practice, the better you get. So that the more he attacks you, the more you are able to resist him. Cause him to flee. Spiritual warfare is real. But God has given us the weapons, the protection, the armor that we need to be victorious in the heat of the battle, just like he did with Jesus. We need to learn more and more to rely on that armor, okay? We're going to finish this study next week. We're going to look at the last, and I think perhaps maybe the most vitally important part of this armor, and that's prayer. We'll see what Paul talks about as far as prayer and why that is so vitally important to us as we face Satan and we fight against him. Spiritual warfare, it truly, truly is a fight for our eternal life. And we've got to do everything we can to overcome and defeat Satan, lest we ourselves be defeated by him and lose the war. It's time, it is now time for us, as we finish this lesson, for us to have an invitation time. For those of you who are here, we offer for you, if you would like to respond to the invitation, if you have a prayer request that we can help you to meet, then please let us know that. You can come up and let me know. Dale, you're going to be in the back there. Dale will be in the back. If there's anyone like to go back and have a private conversation with Dale, he'll be back there. Did I see Wesley here a little while ago? Yeah, he left. Oh, he left again. Wesley was over speaking at Petersburg this morning. So if you have those of you who are with us online this morning, if you have a prayer request that you would like for us to address, then you can text Dale during this invitation song that we have and let him know, and we will address that prayer request that you have, since Wesley's not with us this morning. So disregard Wesley's phone number on there for this morning, and just text Dale while we're doing that. Chuck has a song that he has chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And again, anybody that is here, if you have a need, if you have something, a prayer request that we can address, then just come and let me know or let Dale know, and we will do that. For those of you who are online with us this morning, if there is any prayer request you have, you can send that in. But more importantly, if there's anyone out there who's worshiping with us and you are not yet a Christian, but you've come to the point where you desire to be a Christian, then we will help to make that happen as soon as possible. All you've got to do is let us know. You can text Dale, let him know, we will make that happen as quickly as possible. You don't have to wait for anything, but just let us know, and we will address that and make it happen. But we can't do anything unless we know that that's what your need and what your desire is. So we offer this time as an invitation time. Chuck, why don't you come up and lead us in song, please.